Our Old Testament reading this evening comes from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 31, beginning with verse 31, if you'd like to join along in a pew Bible or your own Bible. Jeremiah 31, 31. Before we read, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your law is perfect. Your word is true. Your commandments are pure. And they endure forever. Gracious God, your word is to be desired more than gold, than much fine gold. And your word is sweeter than honey from the comb. Father, we pray that as we read your word, you would revive us, enlighten us, grant us wisdom, and give us joy in our hearts through it. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Jeremiah 31, 31. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our New Testament reading comes from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, beginning with verse 17. We're in the middle of a sermon series on the Sermon on the Mount. In the sermon, in this teaching, what Jesus is showing in the Sermon on the Mount, he's showing life in the kingdom of God. He's showing life lived following him. And it's not law. It's not a law. The sermon is not a list of regulations. It's not a list of do's and don'ts. Rather, what the Sermon on the Mount does is show the character of life in Jesus Christ, the disposition of life following Jesus Christ. And it's life that can only come about by the Holy Spirit transforming your life, the Holy Spirit transforming your heart. Jesus began, we saw a few weeks ago, he began the Sermon on the Mount with the Beatitudes. And Beatitudes, a Latin word that means blessed. Blessed here, in this sense, means happy. It means joyful. It means a deep-seated joy. It means an enduring happiness. So Jesus began the Sermon on the Mount showing what a blessed life looks like, what a joyful, joy-filled life looks like. Now, last week we saw that Jesus turned from talking about the blessed life, the joy-filled life, to describing what you are meant to be. He turned to describing the purpose of a Christian, the function of a follower of Jesus Christ. And Jesus says this, you're salt. You're salt. You are to be a preservative in a decaying world. And Jesus said, you're light. Reflecting, as light, we are to reflect the light and life of Jesus Christ into the darkness of the world around. Well, today, Jesus turns to something different. He turns to the law. The law. And today, in this short passage, Jesus sets forth principles that will guide the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, that will guide the rest of our study of the Sermon on the Mount. What he says today sets forth some guidelines and principles for that. So let's look at our text. Matthew 5, beginning with verse 17. Hear the words of our Lord Jesus. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, don't think, Jesus says, don't think I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. Jesus says that he did not come to obliterate. He did not come to eliminate. He did not come to annihilate the law or the prophets. And by law and prophets, Jesus means the Old Testament. All of it. When Jews use the word law, Torah in Hebrew, when they use the word law, it refers to the Ten Commandments. But it also refers to all of the commandments. All of the laws that God gave Israel. The laws concerning sacrifices, laws concerning purity, laws concerning the offerings. But Torah, law, could also refer to the five books of Moses. The first five books of the Bible, also known as the Pentateuch. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And finally, Torah, law, could refer to the entire Old Testament, all of it. So Jesus is saying he didn't come to abolish the scriptures. He did not come to abolish the law. He didn't come to abolish Psalms or Proverbs or 1 Kings or 2 Kings or Isaiah or Jeremiah or Obadiah or all the rest, which means this, and it sounds obvious, but sometimes we got to state the obvious, don't we? It means this. The Old Testament is the word of God for the church. The Old Testament is the word of God for the Old Testament is Holy Scripture for Christians, for followers of Jesus, for you. The Old Testament is authoritative for faith and life. That's what Jesus is saying. Now, the question really is, do you believe it? Do you believe what Jesus is saying? And you know the answer to that question, do you believe it, with the answer to another question. Do you read it? Do you read it? Do you study it? And yes, there is much in the Old Testament that is difficult to comprehend, that seems strange and almost otherworldly, yes. But are you trying? Are you wrestling with it? Now, there's a heresy, false teaching, that dates all the way back to the second century, and not that long after Christ ascended into heaven. And this heresy, this false teaching, centered around the teaching of Marcion. Marcion was a preacher in what is now Turkey, and Marcion believed this. He believed that the father of Jesus Christ was a different God than the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He believed the God and father of Jesus Christ was a different God than the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In other words, Marcion taught, he believed and he taught that God in the New Testament was different than God in the Old Testament. So this is what Marcion did. He just cut out the Old Testament. Cut it out. He didn't believe it to be the Word of God. He didn't believe that it was authoritative for the Christian or for the church. And Marcion was also very, very consistent. He also cut out any reference to the Old Testament in the New Testament, which is a decent amount. And not surprisingly, Marcion cut these verses out of the Sermon on the Mount. Now, here's a good rule for you. An extra biblical rule, but a good one nonetheless. All good heresies never die. They circulate. All good heresies never die. They just recirculate. They just come back again and again and again. If you study Christian history and you study the unbelief in the early church, if you study the heresies of the early church, they just keep coming back. They keep coming back. So there are many in the church, there are many followers of Jesus today who don't recognize the Old Testament as the Word of God. They may not nuance it like Marcion. They may not just cut it out. And they may not even consciously reject it, but they only read the New Testament. They ignore the Old Testament. Kind of a Marcion light. Now, here's a good example. Back in my younger days, I was preaching on one of the Ten Commandments. I don't remember which one. But we had a first-time visitor in church that morning, and when I greeted him as he was leaving, he expressed displeasure that I was preaching from the Old Testament. And he told me that no pastor should preach from the Old Testament or the law. He didn't come back, but it's okay. But Jesus did not come to abolish the law or the prophets. That's what he says. In fact, Jesus says this in verse 18. Jesus says, "For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law." Jesus is saying that the law, the Old Testament, will endure as long as creation. Jesus says that neither an iota nor a dot, the smallest marks of the Greek alphabet, will pass from it. It will not pass from it until heaven and earth pass away. In other words, until the end. Until Jesus comes back, until there's a new heaven and a new earth, the law is going to be. Jesus did not come to abolish the law and the prophets, but he doesn't stop with that statement. Look again at verse 17. Jesus says this, "I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." Fulfill them. Jesus came to fulfill the law, the prophets, the Old Testament. It is scripture, it is the word of God, it is authoritative, but we also have a particular way of viewing the Old Testament. We have a particular way of reading it and interpreting it and understanding it, namely through Jesus Christ. He fills it. He fills it full, which means this: you will find Jesus in the Old Testament. All through the Old Testament. Not explicitly, not by name, but he's there. He's there in glimpses. He's there in figures. He's there in shadows. He's there in types. He's there in signs, whispering and foretelling and signaling and pointing. All of which culminates in the cross. All of which is fulfilled in his crucifixion, in his suffering, and in his death. The cross is the fulfillment of the law. And here's how. Here's how. Breaking the law is sin. The failure to keep the law is sin. And the punishment for sin is death. That's what the Lord says. The punishment for sin is death. And it only takes one. It only takes one sin. It only takes one lie. It only takes one time dishonoring the Lord's name. It only takes one time desiring something that your neighbor has that you don't. Just one thought. And you've broken the law. And you deserve death. Now that's exactly why the sacrificial system was in place in the Old Testament. God's people could go to the temple and they could offer a lamb, or they could offer a dove, or they could offer a goat. They could offer it for their sin. But it had to be done over and over and over and over again for every sin until Jesus. Until Jesus. He fulfilled the law. He fulfilled the demands of the law. He fulfilled the requirements of the law. He fulfilled the punishment of the law on the cross. On the cross, he took your place. On the cross, he was your substitute. He took upon himself the punishment for sin, your punishment for sin. He took upon himself death. And he did it once for all. That Jesus was the sacrifice for sin, your sacrifice for sin, that never has to be offered again. Ever again, just one time. In Jesus and through Jesus, you're no longer under the burden of the law. You're no longer under the punishment of the law. You are under Jesus Christ. You belong to Jesus Christ. You have life in Jesus Christ. Jesus did not come to abolish the law. It's the word of God. It's authoritative for your life. He fulfilled it. You're no longer under a death sentence for breaking the law. So then, what do we do with it? What do we do with the law? What's the role of it for those who are under Jesus Christ? Well, first of all, some of the law, no longer applies. If we have to look at it through the lens of Jesus, if we interpret it through Jesus because he fills it full, some of it no longer apply. The sacrificial laws no longer apply. The temple, the tabernacle, the priests, the animals, they're gone. They're no longer needed because Jesus has come. And he was sacrificed. And he is our great high priest. But the moral law, the Ten Commandments and the laws that interpret the Ten Commandments and exposit the Ten Commandments, the moral law, they will not pass away. So again, what do we do with the law? Well, Jesus gives the answer in verse 19. Look at verse 19 again. Jesus says, "Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom." Jesus is saying, you need to live the law. We have to live the law. We got to live it. We got to follow it. We got to keep it. We got to teach it. And not so that we might be saved. Don't miss that. And don't forget that. Not so that we might be saved, but because this is how the Father wants you to live. This is how the Father designed you to live. This is how Jesus lived. This is how you can be great in the kingdom, Jesus says, the kingdom of God, in living out God's law. But Jesus qualifies it in verse 20. Listen to the qualifier, verse 20. Jesus says, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." So Jesus is saying, you got to live out the law. Yes, you got to live out the law. And you got to live it out better than the scribes live it out. Now, the scribes were the Bible teachers in Jesus' day, the Bible scholars in Jesus' day. Those were those who studied the law in Jesus, devoted their life to study the law. Jesus says, you got to live it out better than them. And you got to live it out better than the Pharisees. The Pharisees whose name meant set apart. They were set apart because they observed the law and tried to observe the law to the T, to the dot. Jesus says you got to be better than them. But here's the problem with the scribes and the Pharisees. And you see this throughout the gospel in Jesus' interactions with them. The scribes and the Pharisees, they were focused on the law, but they were focused on the exterior. They were focused on the external. They were focused on act. They were focused on deed. They were concerned about whether you kept the law or broke the law by your words and by your deeds. But Jesus is concerned about your heart. Your heart. Not just the external. Jesus is focused on the heart. And that's what the Sermon on the Mount's all about. He's concerned about your heart. Your righteousness has to be interior. Interior. Your righteousness has to come from the inside out. The inside out. To keep it better than the scribes, to keep it better than the Pharisees, you've got to keep the law in your heart. And then you show it in your words. And then you show it through your deeds. Now, Jesus is going to be talking about this. He's going to be illustrating this the rest of the Sermon on the Mount. The rest of the Sermon on the Mount is going to be talking about this. He's going to be talking about this. Jesus wants you to keep the law in your heart. But the truth is, we can't. We can't do it on our own. We can't keep it in our heart on our own. We've got to have help. Well, the good news is the one who saves you offers that help. Our Old Testament reading this morning from the prophets shows that help. We read this in Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31, it's a passage that is full of Jesus. Filled full of Jesus. Listen again to verse 33 of Jeremiah 31. The Lord speaks of a new covenant through Jeremiah, and hear the Lord's words. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. This new covenant, this new relationship is through Jesus. It's made through his death. If you have faith in Jesus, if you follow him, if he's your Lord and Savior, then you have covenant with God the Father through Jesus, a new covenant. The old one was under the law. The new covenant is of grace. But in this covenant of grace, the law is still present. Only this is how the law is present. God promises to write his law on the hearts of his people. God promises to write the law on your heart. On your heart. So that you can live it from your heart. So the Holy Spirit writes the law on your heart. Now the problem, just in living day to day, the problem is this. Our heart is still full of sin. So we don't always live out the law from our heart. We struggle in our hearts. We have battles in our hearts. We fail. But this is what we must do. This is what we must do. Whenever we fail, in those struggles, whenever we sin, we got to repent. We got to turn to Jesus and confess our sin and confess our failures and confess our struggles. We got to confess to the one who died. The one who offers us life. And not only do we have to confess, but we got to pray. We got to ask the Spirit to keep writing. Ask the Spirit to keep writing in your heart. Ask the Spirit to keep writing on your heart God's law so that you might live it from the inside out. So that you might live the Sermon on the Mount. That's the only way we can live the Sermon on the Mount. Is for God writing it on our heart. So that we can live like Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the gifts that you give to us. Gifts that we don't deserve. Father, we thank you for the gift of salvation through your Son, who took our place, who took the death that we deserve for breaking your law. Thank you for Jesus who saves us. And thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit, who writes your law in our heart. And Father, though we struggle with sin and though we fail, continue to fail in keeping your law, Father, we pray, forgive us and keep writing. Keep writing your law in our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.